Good morning, Dr. Condon.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, you are from the Andover Spine Center.
Yes.
Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, we've been in Andover practicing here. This was an office that I started back in June of 2000. I graduated from Life University, which was the largest chiropractic school in Atlanta, Georgia, back in 1999. And the practice was started in June of 2000, shortly thereafter. So we've been here specializing in corrective care ever since.
Oh, that's terrific. And can you just tell us generally about chiropractic, what it is, what it's good for?
Yeah, sure. Well, chiropractic is a healing art, and it focuses on a non-pharmacological, non-surgical means of helping people achieve better health. So what we do is assess the spine and look for misalignments that cause nerve interference, make adjustments so that the communication can come down from the brain through the spinal cord and out through the nervous system to every organ in the body.
Oh, okay.
So now, we do gentle adjustments to help realign the spine to free up that interference.
Oh, okay. Now, I've heard the term subluxation. If you can tell us about that.
Yeah, that's a great one. That subluxation is a word that a lot of people don't know. It's not a word that even chiropractors tend to use very much in practice because I think they feel that most people have never heard of it, and that's a shame. We try to talk about it a lot in our office because we feel that the subluxation is probably the leading cause of disease. And the reason we say that is because if you understand the spine and the way it works, the subluxation is not a dislocation, but a little bit of movement out of position, hence the prefix sub, which means less than or under. So there's a misalignment, not quite as much as a dislocation, but enough to cause nerve interference. And if we remove that, the body can communicate with itself and do what it needs to do normally without interference.
Okay, now what kind of problems can happen if there is interference?
Well, it could be anything. I mean, the body's nervous system does everything for us. So only 10% of the nervous system is dedicated to the perception of pain, which is called nociception. Other than that, 90% of your nervous system is doing other things like helping your heart beat and helping your liver filter things and helping your kidney do the same, and you have having your lungs do what they do so that you can breathe. So anything can happen, whether it be a headache or it might be high blood pressure or it might be organic disease, whether it be kidney dysfunction or asthma or allergies. It could be anything. So we don't necessarily seek to try to treat those conditions, but we evaluate the condition of the spine and try to find those points of interference. And very often after the person is adjusted, not only does their pain go away, but their body works better.
Oh, okay. You know, I'm really glad you mentioned the high blood pressure. And this is personal because there's several people in my family who have high blood pressure. And that's something that I never would have known. And now it's nice that I can pass that information along to them.
Well, it's one of my favorites that, you know, that particular issue I find interesting because one of my very first, in fact, I think it was my very first patient in chiropractic school came in for neck pain, which is very typical. Most mm-hmm. of the time people come into our offices, they're coming in to treat some kind of pain issue. And we can talk about why that is.
Sure.
But the reality is that we end up working on this person, this patient in particular. I adjusted her neck several times, and over probably the span of 3 weeks, not only did her neck pain go away, but she happened to have had a visit to her primary care doctor, and the doctor, you know, checked her blood pressure, which was routinely high, and was amazed that it had gone down. So,
well, that's,
you know,
fabulous.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. So subsequent to that time, there have been some studies that have been published. Actually, one came out fairly recently about chiropractic care and how it helps people with high blood pressure.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to look that up. That's really good to know. So what I think is interesting, too, is that a lot of people think, well, if my spine feels good, then why would I go? But you're just saying that it's not just about that. Although, obviously, you know, it does help. I mean, my neck is sore, and I love to come and see you, and it makes me feel better. But
yeah,
it's also nice to know that it's helping me in more ways than I even knew.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that, you know, we try to communicate effectively on a visit-to-visit basis with everybody. We have you know, the open office environment to try to teach people what chiropractic is and that it's safe and effective, and that a lot of people realize that, you know, when they see it and they experience it, that these are issues that are very, very common that don't necessarily need to be treated medically with, you know, pharmacological drug intervention. So certainly, the reason why people come in, as I said, most often is to treat pain, but that's a learned behavior, and I kind of I take a step back and I try to examine why that is, and I think that chiropractic has gotten away from its roots a little bit. You know, back in 1895, D.D. Palmer was a healer out in Davenport, Iowa, and he was interested in the body and did a lot of studying on his own. But it was a day that a gentleman named Harvey Lillard came up to him on one occasion. He was deaf and you know, had explained the story of how when he was a young boy, he had lost his hearing. And D.D., you know, he explained that he had heard a pop in his spine and ever since then had lost his hearing. And D.D. surmised that there must be a connection between the spine, the nerves, and the way he heard. So he palpated, he felt with his hands and felt the misalignment where the pop happened. And sure enough, when he put an applied pressure at the right angle and put it back into position, Harvey Lillard's hearing came back. So that's how chiropractic was started. And since then, chiropractors have gotten a little bit away from that message. Not all of them, but a lot of chiropractors teach only that you come in and treat pain.
Yeah.
And that's why people do it. So if you look at the advertisements in the yellow pages in the phone book, there's ads showing a lightning bolt going into somebody's neck or lower back and, you know, talking about headaches or sciatica, lower back pain, neck pain, whatever the case may be. And certainly we can help that because when we take the pressure off the nerves, the pain tends to go away. But we feel more importantly, the body functions better.
You know, when you and I had spoken recently, you had mentioned something called truth and healing. Can you tell us about that?
Well, you know, the whole truth and healing, you know, message here is to kind of be what we hope to be is a beacon of hope for people to say, you know, you're designed, your natural state is to be healthy and that your God-given ability is to self-heal and self-regulate. And the big caveat there is as long as there's no interference. So as you know, a chiropractor here, I feel it's my role to teach people that and to let them have confidence in their body's ability to do that. So we don't try to give people the message that we're going to try to treat every malady that comes down the pike. We want them to know, though, that if their spine is in proper alignment and we know what the spinal model should look like, and we take x-rays and we'll look at their spine and we'll find that subluxation, that misalignment, then we know where the nerve interference is going to be. And when we remove it, the expression of normal vitality, all those messages coming down from the brain, down the spinal cord and out those nerves to every cell, tissue, and organ in the body will happen. And generally, the body will heal itself.
Absolutely. Dr. Condon, this is David speaking here.
Hi, David.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I don't know if Lisa told you, but I'm a massage therapist.
Oh, great.
And the title of my business is Masseur David the Pain Killer. That's me, the pain killer. But it's wonderful to hear you speak because you're addressing a lot of the same things that I explain to my clients. And one of them, the way I simplify is I simply say the nerves, the body's nervous system, that's your electrical system.
Yes.
If you don't have electricity, the appliance is not going to work.
I love it.
If the nerve is not working, the muscle is not going to fire. It's as simple as that.
You have to be plugged in.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And you have to have no interferences. I sometimes explain it to a sort of like a garden hose. If you take it and you bend it, no, guess what? The water doesn't go through. I mean, it's the signal. Your nerves operate the same way. And it's sort of like, I don't know, I always envision the nerves as being looking like angel hair pasta, very, very thin and, you know, like cellophane.
Yeah. You know, David, it's amazing that you're telling me that. I thought I was the only one that used pasta analogies.
Oh, really?
But I tell you,
as long as it's whole wheat.
I can honestly tell you, I think I've most of my patients, because of those analogies, can't eat pasta anymore. But when we were in school, you know, we'd look at these cadavers, right, the bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And I use this story often, and you'll I think, maybe agree with this. This is, I think, interesting. Every time we look at the spine on the cadaver, the curvature, you know, if it was out of its normal position, the side that's concave, so say that you're looking at a scoliosis and you're looking straight down on somebody's spine, if that spine curves into a C position, on the side, the sort of inside of the C, the concave side, there was more pressure on that side.
Mm-hmm.
The bones are closer together. And the nerve, as it exits the spinal cord at that level, looked exactly like angel hair pasta, like you said. But on the other side, on the same segmental level, where it was open, it looked more like linguine.
Oh, yes.
So on the close side,
you're making me hungry.
There's more pressure on the nerve, and the nerve withers and dies.
Exactly. Exactly.
So it's really amazing to see that. And, chiropractic has often been maligned as maybe not being the MDs, long time ago. Maybe some of them still do. They like to think that it's not scientific enough, but yet there's tons of research out there now that shows this. And in fact, when I was in school, before I really knew anything, I looked at that and I thought, my gosh, this is so obvious.
Yeah.
And if we take the pressure off the nervous system, the body can do its thing.
For a long time, what you're saying is true. Chiropractic had to sort of earn its reputation.
Mm-hmm.
And today, now, it is recognized. In a very similar way, we, as massage therapists, have been a long road in that same direction, trying to do the same thing.
Yeah.
But I like what you said at the beginning. I tell my clients the same thing with both chiropractic and massage therapy. Neither one of them, it's not like a chemical you're putting in your body. And I don't even like to take aspirin. I'd rather massage my head or drink extra water or do something to get rid of the headache.
Sure.
Unless I have an infection or something. So it's not a chemical, it's not a pharmaceutical, and it's not surgical. Because if you go in there with surgery, once they cut it, it's gone. They can't put it back.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's rather drastic. Okay. And it's a complement to all these other things. And so it's non-invasive, and it does not interfere with anything else you may happen to be doing if you are on a prescription or you are, whatever else you're doing. Yeah. If you're seeing another one that's allied with this is PT.
Yes.
I
mean, I think that a lot of the so-called, alternative therapies, if you will, if you just look at them in terms of what they have to offer in terms of their safety and effectiveness, unfortunately, the general public doesn't often have the access. It's not the material, the research isn't as readily available to them, or maybe they don't know where to look for it. And they ultimately sometimes end up just relying on what they're told from their primary care. Now, we're not categorically anti-medicine at all.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I often make referrals to various different types of medical doctors depending on the condition of the patient and what their needs are. But we do recognize the simple truth, and this gets back to the whole truth and healing, that if we do help the body maintain its normal design, the intimate, natural, universal relationship between structure and function will be maintained, and the body will learn how to behave normally again as long as there's no interference. We remove the physical interferences, the chemical interferences, the neuroemotional interferences. There are a lot of different ways we can interfere with that normal function, but we are not trying to steer people necessarily away from the medical, more crisis type of care that they need, but we're saying, look it, let's help the body help itself naturally first, without drugs, without surgery, right?
Yeah, exactly. Now, Dr. Conan, that's why I think this is so good for children, because everything that you're saying makes a lot of sense. And when you were talking about the story with the person getting their hearing back, it made me think about ear infections. And
yeah.
You mentioned asthma, and I believe ADD as well can also be helped.
Yeah, it's again, not without the thinking that we're, again, and it's not semantic, but we're not trying to treat those maladies, but we're saying, look, clearly the body's sending a message here, right, that there is perhaps a chronic interference, especially if the child's condition is ongoing, and they just, I've seen kids come in my office with a history of, 30 ear infections.
Wow.
Just incredible.
That's a lot of antibiotics.
A lot of antibiotics.
Too many.
A lot of sets of tubes in the ears that fall out, and they've gone through an awful time. And I'm talking about kids 7, 8, 9 years old who have just had a track record of this, have only relied on the traditional medical model with drug intervention, antibiotic use, surgical intervention, et cetera. And then finally the mother says, something? This isn't working. I need something else, or I want to try something else and see what we can do. And I've adjusted these children, and literally sometimes within the first 1, 2, 3 visits, the infection's gone. The ear has drained literally sometimes right on the adjusting table. I know that sounds a little gross, but it's a miracle.
Hey, whatever
for these
it
kids.
Takes.
These kids, their faces light up, the pain is gone, they can sleep at night.
And
it's not trying to treat the condition, but allow the body to transmit normal function through the nerve. And in an ear infection, without being too technical, simply applying pressure at the first vertebral level on a nerve there that goes into the muscles of the ear can cause those muscles to not contract and relax normally. And then all of a sudden you pool fluid there and it becomes a breeding ground.
Yeah. You know, I was actually going to bring that up with young children in terms of the gentle pressure. I think some people picture their, you know, 2-year-old getting, you know, an adjustment that an adult would get.
Sure.
And I know from bringing my own child in, and you actually came to the hospital when she was born and you checked her because I had a C-section and I thought that was great. And you checked her right away and she was good.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting because a lot of these kids that we call them chiropractic kids, they don't have the history of the repetitive chronic upper respiratory and ear infections if they get checked and adjusted on occasion. So, yeah, and it's a very gentle thing in terms of how we do it. We often just apply a sustained gentle contact, you know, with my finger. And sometimes if they're a little bit older, we'll use an adjusting instrument that's very gentle as well, but certainly not the kind of, you know, cracking, popping sounds that sometimes are needed, although gently and specifically with adults. But, you know, with the kids, we tend to just do things with a little bit less pressure.
Now, what causes those popping sounds, since you brought that up?
Yeah, well, that's a sound that a lot of people are aware of. If they've maybe been to the chiropractor, they know what they've heard the sound, or if they haven't gone, they've heard about the sound. It's not actually the bones cracking. All it is a gas pressure coming out of what's called the joint capsule. And there is a little bit of fluid in there, and it will either contract or, you know, or expand depending on how much pressure is in the joint. And when we make that sound and we move the joint through its full range of motion, often the pressure will come out, and that's what that sound is.
Okay. Now, something else I wanted to address is that I've talked to people who say, well, once you go to a chiropractor, they make you go 3 times a week forever and ever, and I don't want to get into it. You know, it's too much of a hassle. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'll tell you, again, let's get serious about telling the truth. You know, a lot of times, you know, our parents would tell us things when we were kids that we didn't want to hear. And, sometimes what's best for us isn't really what we want to do. But in terms of, kind of creating a care plan for the masses, everybody's different. You can't say what's right for this person is necessarily what's right for the next person. But in general, our position on that is, let's get your spine as healthy as it can be. We do the exam, we take the x-rays, and we look at it, and we identify where the problems are. And we can simply show the patient, this is the spine the way it's supposed to look, and this is your spine. Do you see the problem? And they say, my gosh, of course I do. And then we say, okay, well, let's try to get this corrected within the next, say, 2 months. And we make a concerted effort to do what we call a corrective care process. And in that period of time, it's generally 3 times a week, and then we follow up with another x-ray, and we look at the before and after.
Okay.
Very, very easy. And then we can see it's much like going to the orthodontist, and it takes time to make those teeth align. Same thing with the spine. And then, you know, when we see that the correction is made, we say, let's do a maintenance routine. And depending on what the person does every day, what their stresses are, that might be once every 2 weeks or once a month. But it's certainly nothing like what they're going through to get the spine corrected.
Okay, and I had another question about something called, I think it's called spinal decompression. I've been hearing about that. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Non-surgical, the spinal decompression began as a surgical procedure where people would go in for generally degenerative disc disease, herniated disc issues, and where the material, the inner material of the disc itself may be coming out a bit, contacting a nerve causing pain, usually typically in the in the arms or the legs, and the sensation of what a lot of people know of as sciatica, the burning, tingling, numbness kind of stuff into the legs. There is a non-surgical version of decompression that chiropractic has embraced, a technology that's been around for probably 20 years or so now, began, I believe, in Canada, and it was called the VAX-D. And it has evolved into a different mechanism, if you will, a different delivery system. And the technology has advanced, but essentially what it does is it allows for a traction force to be gently applied to the spine in a way that's absolutely painless and allows the pressure on the disc to be relieved such that it won't allow the muscles to guard, to brace during the stretch. So the technology has these sensors built into the equipment. While you're stretching the patient's spine, it can sense if the muscles are going to tighten, and it will gently back off the stretch as needed. And what that does is it creates a slow, gentle stretch and kind of tricks the brain to not guard against the stretch, and we create a vacuum effect inside the disc as a result. And then what happens is any part of the disc that's been pushed out, that's contacting a nerve, gets sucked back into place.
Wow.
naturally, and the disc expands again. And as the pressure is relieved from the disc and that vacuum effect has taken hold, the disc is able to pull fluid and nutrients into itself, which allows it to heal in that position.
Wow. So that sounds like that's something good for perhaps a doctor telling you that you need surgery. And you're saying,
exactly.
Well, let me think about this first. Let me go talk to Dr. Condon.
Well, you know what? This has been going on now, as I say, for about 20 years. And most recently, probably within the last 7 or 8 years, really advanced in its technological application. So now it can be done in a private practice, in a small office setting, rather than in a hospital. And it is incredibly effective, probably about an average of 85 to 90% effectiveness rate at eliminating the herniated disc, certainly eliminating the pain, tingling, or numbness, sometimes even the weakness. And then, you know, the person is allowed to keep their body parts, right? Stay away from surgery.
Yeah. No, that's obviously a very good thing, to stay away from surgery. Now, how you said you've been in practice again. Tell me again, for 9 years?
I've been about 10 years now, and in my own practice for about almost 9.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And the age range, obviously, you said, is pretty young to...
Yeah,
what would you say your oldest patient is?
Right now, my oldest patient is 95.
Oh, my goodness. Now, I'm guessing you have to be extra, extra gentle.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's amazing. You generally, of course, you are, but there are some 90-plus-year-olds out there with great bone density.
Wow.
And, you know, Jack LaLanne. You ever hear of Jack LaLanne?
Oh, yeah. My mom used to go to the Jack LaLanne spa when I was a kid. She was a huge Jack LaLanne fan.
Well, as I understand it, he's just turned 94. And
he's
amazing. I mean, he's probably more fit than many, many folks that I know who are 50. So he's terrific. And, you know, and he's a chiropractor, which I find really interesting.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
I know he sells, I've seen him selling like vegetable juicers and stuff and other things, which is great. Yeah, you know,
yeah,
I didn't know about that.
So he's been obviously, you know, quite a trailblazer for wellness.
He sure has.
Yeah, and you know, I look to people like that as an example of what's possible. We're all about human potential and really encouraging people to discover their body's unique innate ability to self-heal and self-regulate. And really, you know, it's a connection that's supposed to be there. And people are constantly looking to the outside for what can I apply from the outside? What can I eat? What can I do? And these are good things. We have to focus on the good water, the good food, the good oxygen, but we can't forget the good nerve supply. And people like Jack LaLanne, they've been talking about this for decades, and look at where he is. I mean, he's 94 and vibrantly healthy.
So vibrant.
Yeah.
So vibrant. Now, I want to ask one last question. It's more of a practical question for people listening, because I'm sure you've gotten a lot of people saying, hey, I want to get to a chiropractor.
Yeah.
Money, insurance, how does that work at this point?
Well, this is a great question, and if I can just kind of take a second to back up and say what I had meant to get to earlier, too, about why the message in chiropractic has kind of gotten away from educating about the self-healing, self-regulating stuff. And not all, but a lot of offices really only focus on the pain. And I think that might have evolved in the 1980s when, prior to that, there was no insurance coverage for chiropractic. In the 1980s or so is when that initiated, and it was an easier message, I think, to communicate to the public, to come in and we'll treat that neck pain, the back pain, the headaches.
That makes sense.
But, yeah, so there is insurance for chiropractic, and we use that as a tool to help people get healthier, but we don't allow the insurance coverage to dictate the quality of care.
Yeah.
So, you know, certainly if you come in and it is because you're uncomfortable, we're happy to help you with that. We call that relief care. But we want to apply that insurance as a tool to help you not just get out of pain, but to get healthy and really help your body be where it's supposed to be.
Well, that is fantastic. You were wonderful, Dr. Condon. Can you give us your website?
Yeah, AndoverSpineCenter.com.
Okay, and your phone number?
Yeah, and the phone number at the office is 978-474-1700.
Well, great. Well, in a couple weeks or less, I'm going to have a website up, www.itsyourhealthradio.com or org. I will find out, and I will have a link to Dr. Condon's website. Again, I want to thank you, and Joining us next week will be David Sollers, founder and director of First Health of Andover, and author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Homeopathy and The Complete Idiot's Guide to Acupuncture and Acupressure. Thanks for listening. Take care and have a healthy week. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
And, of course, you've been listening to Thinking Out Loud. We are your mood alteration radiation medication radio station here in the Merrimack Valley. And we just concluded a debut performance from Lisa Davis with Dr. Condon, the chiropractor.
Right. It's Your Health every Tuesday, 9:30 to 9:50. Join us and learn and be healthy.